Oh, by the way, how many of you get the memory passage this month? That's the hardest passage. I got it, but just barely. But I used to sort of get it, and I said it. But this one, for whatever, is three short verses. But it doesn't flow for me. And I don't really have the four in turn number. It just doesn't flow for me. But I did get it yesterday. I couldn't say today for sure. Anyway. I encourage each one of you to do the memory passage. I enjoy doing it most months. I get it fairly good. This month's been hard. Must be cheaper, right? I'm going on to be with my Father. Going on to be with my Lord. For I trusted in His precious belonging. On the living word, I seen my Lord, He came down to die on the cross of Calvary. He pays His debt for every sinner. And like Paul, I know I am cheap.
Take your Bibles. Turn to John chapter 4 this morning. John chapter 4. For a minute, I thought winter had returned with the snow that was. Anybody else see that snow at their house? It was snowed at our house. We almost started singing Christmas carols again. But we weren't feeling so joyful. Christmas is a joyous time, right? And it wasn't real joyful to look out the window and see the snow falling, but it's okay. It's only April. I mean, another couple months and we'll have summer. We'll just keep with it, right? I mean, it should make it by July. I feel bad because last year I missed all summer. I was sick all summer long, both days. And hopefully I have my health this year. I can enjoy the summer. But it's coming. What do they say? Slowly but surely. It is coming. And it's nothing. This is what it does every year, right? Every once in a while, like twice in my life, I remember having an early spring. One time, it was right after we were married. And I, you know, Josie being from Virginia and everything, we, that April the 6th was her birthday. How do you like that for memory? Amen. And I remember I took her out to Kentucky Fried Chicken. We sat there with our windows down. I tell you, that's quite a date right there. And with our windows down in April the 6th, that was, man, you know, it snowed the next day, but that, you know, I think it actually stayed quite warm. And then we had that one year that we planted our gardens in May. And man, we had the biggest tomatoes. Everybody was like, you jumped the gun. You should. I think that was the first year we moved over here. And everybody's like, oh, well, you don't know. You don't plant your gardens that early here. I was like, I know. I was actually just on the other side. Just on the other side there. And we took a chance, planted the best garden that we've had in a long time. We got away with it that time, but I wouldn't do that every year for sure. John chapter 4, we're going to start reading in verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were going away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it was that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Thou art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such who worship him. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. What a great verse. Amen. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit into life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him, for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to be here today. Lord, to be able to have a good place to meet, and Father, good seats to settle on that you provided for us. And Lord, to be able to know that we have the Word of God, that we're not just preaching, Father, from the portions or a book that contains some of the words of God. But Lord, we do have the very perfect Word of God here today. And Lord, we thank you so much for that. I couldn't stand here, Lord, and be able to preach. I couldn't pastor this church not having a perfect Bible. And I'm thankful, Father, that you've given us one. Lord, I pray that you keep all distractions away. Lord, I know there's many. This old world is cluttered up our minds so much, Father. And Lord, we could be thinking about things. We could be distracted, Lord. We could be sleepy. We could, you know, Father, just be thinking about something else. And I pray that that would not be the case here today. And I pray, Father, that we'd be able to focus on your word. And Lord, if there's one here today that is not saved, Father, as the scripture saith, they will believe, Father. And I pray, Lord, that this message would be something that your people need and that you would use it for your honor and glory. And I pray that you'd help me, Father, help me not to be a distraction from the message today. Lord, I love you, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you notice in verse 34, it says, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. You know, if there's one thing we can all agree on this morning, is it that the world is in a state of moral decay, is it not? It's in a state of moral decay. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And boy, if that's not ever the case today, when people are so deceived with our mind, we have the Spirit of God living within us. Amen. He is a guide to all truth, as the Bible says here, and I believe is in John chapter 6. But he will guide us into all truth. And so we know truth through the Word of God. So when we see things in the world, we see how people are deceived. Boy, it is so frustrating, is it not? They are so deceived. They're deceiving and they're being deceived. The world is waxing worse and worse. It's not one day we're not going to wake up and they have woke up and said, you know what? I can't believe we were actually believing that. I can't believe that we all actually thought that was normal. But we're not going to see that. Right. But you know, if you go on and read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we read verse 13. But if you read verse 14, it says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So we find that we know what the world is doing. The world is getting worse and worse every day. But Bible says our God is commanding us to continue in the things that we have learned. And I praise the Lord for that. I praise the Lord for the kids that God has given us in this church. And I don't know about you, but I pray for them every single day. And I pray that God would never, would keep me and I would never find myself stumbling where I would lead them astray. I would never say anything that might get their interest up for the things of the world, that our church would never give, nobody in our church would ever give a testimony that would make the world look good or would look fun, because there's nothing good, there's nothing fun out there, there is nothing to be had in the world that's any good. Amen. And we need our kids to know that, and they're going to learn it from us. So we need to continue on in the Word of God. We are commanded to continue. We must continue in the things that we have learned. Continue means to remain in a state or place, to abide for any time indefinitely, to last, to be durable, to endure, to be permanent, to persevere, to be steadfast or constant in any course, not to cease from or terminate. I wonder how many of us can really say we have continued without stopping. Every one of us, we go through kind of cycles, do we not? If you read through the Word of God, you see the children of Israel, and it cycles, is it not? Look in the book of Judges. If there's ever a day that would describe the world that we live in today, it would be the book of Judges, the end of the book, where it says, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And so we see that so many times today, us as Christians, we're going along and things are going good and we're reading our Bibles, but then we're distracted by something and we find ourselves, we have to repent and we have to go back and ask for forgiveness and get on that straight and narrow path once again. And so we need to continue. The world is getting worse, but that's not all. We find that God's people are also growing cold towards the things of God and becoming more worldly every day. It sickens my heart. It saddens me. It tears me up to think about the people that I have known in my life who stood for something that was right, who no longer stand where they used to stand. I tell you, it's heartbreaking to see older people to give in and compromise because of their kids or their grandkids. When you need to be steadfast, you need to be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Listen, they need somebody to look to. They need somebody to look to that they can learn the things of God. You say, well, why is this happening? Well, when you're caught up in the things of this world, your affections change. Your affections change. In Colossians chapter 3, if you turn over there with me, if you would, in Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. It says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For verily, when we were with you, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong one there. I was quoting that from what I had written down here. Chapter 3. If I could find chapter 3. Good thing we weren't doing a sword drill. Amen. Chapter 3, verse 4. We read verse 3. Verse 4 says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. So there's some things that we need to do away with. Look in verse 5. And mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. Inordinate affection, one of the definitions of the word inordinate is not limited to rules prescribed. And if you say, well, that's what the world is, they're not limited to the rules, because the world is coming out with, you know, how many genders now that they say there is, and in all this, and you can be what you want to be. It doesn't matter. I'm just wondering, you know, what will come next? I'm almost scared to listen to the news anymore to find out what's going to happen next. But that's the world. But what I find today is what's heartbreaking is I find it in the churches that they do not want to follow a set of rules that has been given. The set of rules that is preached from our pulpit is not a set of rules that I've sat down in a room and said, I'm going to write these down because I think our church needs to follow these. But those rules were given to us. Those rules were rules that were there before the foundation of the world. And they've been tried and they've been proven. And praise the Lord. God's people are getting used to the dark. You've heard the song probably sang, and it's an old song, but it said getting used to the dark. We're not praying to change any hearts. We're just getting used to the dark. I'll say it like this. If you miss church, it gets easier to miss church again. It gets easier to miss again. It gets easier to miss again. If you don't come to a meeting, it's easier not to come to the next meeting. It's easier just to stay home. You know why? Because your old flesh rewards you when you do what it wants you to do. We see the reasons why we are too involved in the things of this old world. And I think every one of us would have to agree that we need to guard ourselves every day or we'll be given over to things in this old world. The flesh, what this flesh wants, our desires. I'll just say this. You try skipping a couple meals and you'll see how powerful your flesh is. I mean, fasting. How many of us fast? How many of us have a need that we're going to pray for? And we've got to get a hold of God and we'll pray so much that we just put completely everything out of our mind. No more food. Just, Lord, please hear me as we pray. In our text this morning, the Lord went out of his way to reach one soul. And in so doing, we find that many were saved. Praise the Lord. We go back to John. We see in verse 41. John chapter 4, verse 41. He says here, and many more believed because of his own word and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. But I praise the Lord that this was a lady that got saved and she went out and she had a testimony. She testified to those who were lost and she said, come, I have met the Christ. I'm sorry, church, but there's no excuse for a Christian not being a witness. Because it's promised that if we become saved, that we shall be witnesses. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. So if you're not a witness, I'd be checking up on my salvation. If you have no desire for the lost to be saved, if you have no desire, if something else in this life is more important to you than seeing lost people saved, I would be seriously concerned about you. I want you to notice verse 31 of our text. He says, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him saying, Master, eat. But he saith unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. He is saying there's something that keeps me going. There's something that drives me forward. That there's something that I will die for. That was the will of the Father. That was the will of the Father. Too many times today, our wants are followed, and we say that they're the will of God. You know, I don't know about you, but we can find the will of God. I have found the will of God for my life. I can't say this is the will of God for your life because that's something that you have to know, that you have to pray. You have to search the scriptures to know for yourself what God wants you to be doing. But too many times I find people who are doing their own thing and saying it, this is the will of God for my life. But that's not the case. Sometimes the will of God is not what you may want to do. I'll be totally honest with you. There's no secret here. I praise the Lord for bringing us here to New Brunswick. I praise the Lord for River Valley Baptist Church. I praise the Lord that next month, in the month of May, it'll be 10 years that I've pastored this church. I praise the Lord for that. But I can promise you this, if I had my thing, if I had my wish and I could pick where I wanted to go, what I wanted to do with the will of God, what I wanted God's will to be for me, well, it wouldn't have been Woodstock, New Brunswick. It wouldn't have been Woodstock, New Brunswick. And you can ask my wife. There was, I mean, I prayed and I was looking at certain things and I was trying to serve the Lord. We were serving the Lord and our church. But what I'm telling you, there was other places that I was looking that I desired to go a whole lot more than I desired to come here. Sometimes the will of God is not what you want, but it's what He wants. You know, Psalm 37 and verse 4 says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." I find it very frustrating when you find somebody that quotes that verse and they use it to say, God's going to give me this, or God's going to give me this because that's the desires of my heart. And you know what they're focused on? The part that they focus on is the part of the desires of thine heart. And so the desires of thine heart, God's going to give me this, or God's going to give me that. And I'm going to have this, and I'm going to have that, because God wants to give us the desires of our heart. I'm sorry, but the heart is wicked, desperately wicked, the Bible says. Who can know it? And God knows our hearts. He knows they're wicked. And no, He's not going to give us the desires of our hearts and our old fleshly hearts that we want. The key to that verse is delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord. We know what we want, and we want it now. We live in a society where we are not willing to wait on anything. I don't know about you, but yesterday, last evening, we had a pot of vegetable soup for supper. And in that pot of vegetable soup was vegetables out of our garden. There was, and some out of Miss Carol's garden. And there was tomatoes that I can remember we were doing them during our meeting last year with Brother Osteen. We'd go home and it would be 12 o'clock at night and the kids would be in bed where we finally, everything was after leaving the church, getting things cleaned up, getting home, getting the kids all in bed. We were there and we'd start doing tomatoes and we'd do a big stock pot like this high. I mean, it's probably 5 gallons worth. And we'd do that before we'd go to bed at night. It wasn't easy. And I'm telling you, it tasted awful good last night. It was worth waiting on. But we don't want that anymore, do we? We want to pop something in the microwave and have it come out. I can remember when I was a kid, Mom had a popcorn machine. I don't know if anybody has popcorn machines or not. We actually have one. I bought Josie one for her anniversary one year. And I'm very romantic. And I remember watching that popcorn machine. And I remember watching it would pop. And then I remember Mom heating butter up on the stove, because we didn't have a microwave when we were little kids. And she'd take that butter in a pan and she'd put it all over there. And then she would mix butter and brown sugar and everything else. And she'd make caramel popcorn. And it would be in big clumps. And your hands would get all sticky and everything around it was sticky. And it was in a great big green bowl. But you don't have that much anymore because people don't want to wait for anything. We want it now. We want it right now. Get out of my way. I'm in a hurry. You try pausing at a red light for half a second, and somebody will blow the horn at you. I wonder how many of us are guilty of that today. How many of us are delighting ourselves also in the Lord? What is there that you live for? What in life is there that we live for? Is it hunting? I personally can confess to you today that I have to keep that in check. I have to. I have to completely put that in check because I love to go out and hunt. The other night we went for a ride. We had to check something, so we were going for a ride, and Jacob's like, "Dad, you taking a gun?" I was like, "No." He's like, "Why not? We might see a bear, Dad. We might see a bear." I was like, "I know, and we probably will. That's why I'm not taking a gun." And so we took a ride without it. I've got to make sure I enjoy that so much that I could just, man, in the fall when there's deer season starts and it goes for those 3 weeks and over Sunday and everything else, if I wouldn't keep it in check, I wouldn't be here on Sunday morning. I might be late because I'd probably be in the woods hunting. So I know how it is. There's things. And you say, "Well, there's nothing really that I have that really take." Then you're not human. Then you're not human. What I'm asking you today, what drives you? What drives you? It could be grandkids. It could be your own kids. It could be your friends. It could be doing something. It could be television. It could be the news. It could be sports, whatever it is that drives you. Something that you wake up at night thinking about, like, I wonder what this happened. Something that, in the mornings you wake up and you got to check something because, boy, you're really into it. You got to watch that. What is it that drives you? What do you think about? What are your dreams in life? Our Lord said, my meat is to do the will of the Father. How can we live and continue for the Lord in this old sin-sick world? Look back with me, if you would, in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Now, it's not saying that you just don't worry about it. Forget about it. You know, you don't have to take any action at all because you're just going to wake up in the morning and there's going to be a suit of clothes laying beside your bed. It's not talking about that. What it's saying, don't focus on that thing. Don't let that be your focus in life. Don't focus your life about, I've got to make another dollar, I've got to make another, because we need this, we need this, we need this. And you know what you've done? You've taken it right out of the hands of an almighty God who wants to supply your needs. And you've taken it over for him. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So what we see here is we need to be focusing on the will of God. Focus on the will of God. What is the will of God? Well, I'm glad you asked because the Bible tells us, amen. Back in 2 Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 3, we find the will of God here. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, he says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's will is that mankind be saved. God's will is for us. For us as Christians to go out and tell those who are not believers about Jesus Christ that they can have salvation, that they can be born again. Now we find here in our text of John chapter 4 in verses 34 and 35 where he says, my meat. He says, my meat, that which satisfies the strongest appetite of my soul. That which, that which satisfies me, that's what drives me in life. And these words, our Lord teaches a lesson of zeal and of earnestness to his apostles and because of the word of God to every one of us today. Let the salvation of souls be nearer to your heart than life itself. Let the salvation of souls be nearer to us than anything. Who's going to win the ball game? Who's going to win the hockey game? Who's going to win a race? Or who's going to do this? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Is that what's driving us? Is that what drives us? Let eating and drinking and working and recreation, let our rest and studying, let when we're reading and writing and when we're praying and all, everything that we do, everything that we say might be directed toward the will of our Savior. We need to imitate our Lord. You say, well, how can we do that? How can we do that? You know, one of the things we can do, please don't raise your hand, but how many memorized the verse this month, our memory verse? And I hope every one of you could raise your hand, but if you can't raise your hand, shame on you. I will say shame on you. Because that is a key verse when it comes to winning souls. And that's a verse right there that the Holy Spirit of God directed your pastor to put down for you to memorize. And if you took no thought of it, your meat's not certainly the will of God, which is to win souls. God help us. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, it was one of our memory verses a while back. Now, if you get upset with that, I'm sorry. I'm trying to wake us up as Christians. In Colossians chapter 3, it was a memory verse, but if I don't look it up, I'm going to misquote it. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 says, "In whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." So we are to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, we're going to close, but I want you to look back in Luke chapter 16, if you would. Luke chapter 16. And I want you to look at this, and if you underline in your Bible, there's some underlining that you need to do here in just a minute. Luke chapter 16. Now, we're not going to read all of this, but we understand that there was a rich man who had stewards, and he sent them out. Look at verse 13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and man. If there's something in your life, if you can't wait for this message to get over because you want to check something, or you can't wait for this message to get over because you want to talk about something, then you should be the first one this morning that comes forward and bows your head in repentance to an almighty God and say, please forgive me of being so distracted in this life. Verse 14, it says, and the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. How many of us justify ourselves? Really? Every one of us. How many of us have a pet verse that we use once in a while? Just to justify some of the things that we do that's not right. He says, you justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. God knoweth your hearts. God knows. And one day we will give an account of our life, how we've lived it unto the Lord. And I look what it says here. The last part of this verse, and this is important. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. I don't know about you, but there's things out there that this old world goes crazy over. I think of it. I mean, I'm not picking on if you like sports. I've never been a big sports fan myself. But I think about our sports, the sports that we have. How a person who can hit a ball or skate around and shoot a puck is worth millions and millions of dollars. And a preacher of the Word of God works job to makes ends meet for his family. Missionaries have to go off the field to raise more support so they could go back to a foreign field and preach the gospel. I'm not expecting the masses to support pastors and missionaries. But I do expect God's people. I do expect God's people to give of themselves to the Word of God and to have that be their meat. Because you know how quick this life will be over? And it doesn't matter who signs with who and who plays the ball and how many hoops that dude over there was able to shoot and he won the ball game. And boy, if you have him on your team, you're going to win. Who cares? Who cares? It doesn't matter. Listen, we could think about this. We could think about Hollywood. And everyone was like, oh, wicked, wicked, wicked. But how much money do we spend to have that entertainment pumped into our homes? God forbid if it's more than you give to the Lord. How much do we spend on our toys and what we like if it's more than we give to God? If we give more time to the desires and the wants of our life, God help us on the day of judgment. What is your meat? I think you should underline in your Bible, that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Because that would help you as a Christian. Because you know what? Something that the world's all for and just like, yeah, pushing it hard. Probably not a good thing for a Christian to be all too involved. And those things that the world says, whatever, old-fashioned, done away with. I mean, we have science now that has proven that wrong. That may be where we ought to hang our hat. I say, that's where I'm going to stay. I'm going to love the Lord. If we can say what the Lord says my meat is. You know what he's saying here? More than I desire to eat. more than I desire to have my needs met, my physical needs in this life, I want to do the will of my Father. Why no revival? We're too caught up in this world. We're too caught up in the things of this world. I mean, if I ask you today, could you name the 12 apostles? Or could you talk about the nightly newscast or the game last night or this week? Or could you, I'm including myself in this, could you tell me the world record score of the biggest bear skull or biggest rack of antlers from a white tail? If we can do that, we can't talk of the things of God. Something's wrong. Something's out of balance in our life. If you can tell me what you have in your bank account, and you can't tell me what the preacher preached on last Sunday, something's out of balance. You're out of balance. How can we go out and do the will of God to win souls if our desire is to be like those we're trying to reach? You notice in our text this morning, the woman went out and told him. And she was very compelling. Because you know why? Because they looked into it. And they came and they said, yes, what you have said is true. Because we've heard it from him. You go out and witness to somebody, and the greatest thing in the world is to be able to take the word of God and lead a lost soul to Jesus Christ. That where they can see what you've told them is right. And they know it's right because they heard it from the word of God. Man, what a wonderful thing it is. Church, can I encourage us today that what drives us as individuals, what drives us as River Valley Baptist Church, is not to be famous or well known, not to be wealthy and to be looked after. It's not to have a name for ourselves, but it's to do the will of our Lord. Do the will of our Lord. And may we feel conviction when we stray and do the things that we desire and the things that we want. I mean, it starts now. It starts today. My meat is to do the will of my Father. What is your desires in life? What keeps you going every day? I hope it's the Word of God. I hope it's the preaching of the Word of God. I hope it's winning souls. Man, it's the least that we can do. The Bible says it's our reasonable service. Our reasonable service. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your Word. And Lord, I find myself very convicted after this message, Lord, that you've given me. I pray, Lord, that you would help us as a church, Father, not to be caught up in the things of this world. So many Christians, Father, have lived their life, have died, and really haven't done anything for you. And Father, I don't want to be one of those. Father, I want to do your will. I want to serve you. I want to see souls saved because of being faithful to you, Lord. Father, I love you, and I pray that you'd be able to speak to hearts here today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.